Education to Buddha Amitabha, which expresses very much the very spirit of the tradition or the cult, I will speak about. Om, adoration to the Buddha Amitabha, whose Dharmakaya is omnipresent in all universes. Om, adoration to all the bodhisattvas and pure beings of the ocean-wide assembly of Sukhavati. Om, adoration to all the Buddhas and saints of the past, present, and future, and of the 10 quarters of the kilocosms. In my previous lectures, I noticed that the devotion isn't a very developed a part of the Buddhist tradition. Buddhism is first of all the teaching of our liberation by our own strength, by our own forces, by our own practice. But nevertheless, in the Mahayanistic trend of Buddhism, there are some cults and some practices of devotional type. Certainly, they aren't of the same nature as Hindu Bhakti, with its emotional implications, but nevertheless, just in these Buddhistic devotional traditions, we can find the tradition of mystical prayer in its proper sense. And therefore, I will speak now about two trends of the Mahayana Buddhism. First of all, it is a Pure Land tradition, which has Indian roots, but which obtained its most developed forms in the Far East, in China and Japan. And secondly, I will tell you a little about the Japanese tradition of Nichiren Shu, which is also has some practice of mystical prayer related to the veneration of the sutra or the lotus of the true doctrine, Sadharma Pundarika Sutra, in Sanskrit, or Myoharanga Kyo in Japanese. In Theravada or Hinayana, there are no such devotional practices and devotional cults of faith and hope. But Mahayana, with its cults of numerous Buddhas of past, present, and future, with its cult of great compassionate beings or bodhisattvas, gives us some very pure examples of the devotional tradition of Buddhism. And first of all, I must tell some words about cosmological implications of such trends. As I have spoken before, Buddhistic cosmology teaches about many, many universes of different types, which exist, which existence is parallel to our own cosmos. There are many triple worlds, just such as our world is. They have the same structure, and all of them are subjects of the cyclical changes according to the principle of cyclic time. And these worlds, according to Mahayana Buddhism, are so numerous as the particles of sand in the Ganges River, and even more than that. And according to Mahayana Buddhism, in all those universes, there appear some Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Most of these universes are unattainable for us, but some highest beings, the Bodhisattvas of the highest levels, have an ability to attain those realms. For example, in the Vimalakirti Nirdesha Sutra, or the Sutra of Vimalakirti, Vimalakirti was a very wise person, lay person, who teaches even monks and bodhisattvas. In this sutra, there is a scene of communication between our world and the world of pure smells, and the bodhisattvas of this world, during the session of communication, are surprised that even in our universe, which is one of the many, many universes of the many structured world, there are Buddhas and there is true Buddha Dharma. Among those universes, there are some which are called pure lands in Buddhism, pure lands, or Buddha Kshetras in Sanskrit. Buddha Kshetras is fields of the Buddha, or Buddha's fields. These Buddha Kshetras are very special worlds which will be purified by the vows and by the practice of some Buddhas of those worlds. They were purified from defilements, from all evil karma, and they can be represented in religious consciousness as something like paradises of other religions. And because the universes are innumerable, the number of those paradises, of those fields of the Buddha, are also innumerable. Most of them have no definite religious meaning, but one of them, that is Sukhavati, that is the pure land or the land of bliss, is very significant for the Buddhist practice of the Mahayana. And here we meet with the idea of the land of Amitabha. The name of Amitabha means unlimited light, unlimited light. And some scholars supposed that this idea of Amitabha had some Persian roots, Zoroastrian roots. But this question hasn't been solved, and perhaps the cult of Amitabha had Indian and not Iranian roots. So the name of Amitabha is the meaning of the name of Amitabha is in, unlimited light. There is another variant of his name, that is Amitayus, Buddha of unlimited life. Unlimited life. The Tibetans made a strict distinction between Amitabha and Amitayus. Amitayus is the aspect of Amitabha reflected, it is Amitabha reflected in the eternal time.
Amitabha
Amitabha is unlimited light and Amitayus is unlimited life. Yes, but the Chinese and Japanese tradition suppose those names to be a synonymous designation of one and the same Buddha. There are three Buddhist scriptures which are dedicated to this Buddha and to his pure land of Sukhavati.
I don't understand.
So Buddha it is a Buddha of one of the innumerable world who transformed it to become a pure land of the Buddha or Buddha Kshetra, the purified land. Yes, it's one of the universes, one of the triple worlds of the innumerable universes. Yes, but it isn't the most important idea of this cult. There are three Buddhist texts dedicated to this Buddha. They are Sukhavati Vyuha, or Sutra about Sukhavati, or Pure Land. Then all small Amitabha Sutra, the large Amitabha Sutra, and the Sutra of Contemplation of Amitabha, Aparimittayur Dhyana Sutra. All these three sutras are the basis for the Sino-Japanese school of pure land. What can be said about the contents of those sutras? Innumerable eons, innumerable cycles before, in one of the worlds situated in the west, to the west from our world. So one of the names of the Sukhavati is the Western Paradise. There was a monk whose name was Dharmakara, and that monk gave 48 wolves. 48. 48 wolves. Wolves. Vows. I'm sorry. Vows. And the most important from those vows are 19th and 20th. I will read them. The 18th. Provided I become a Buddha, if the beings of the 10 quarters, who after having heard my name and thus awakened their highest faith and desperation of rebirth in that country of mine, even they have recollected such a thought, for 10 times only they are destined to be born there, with the exception of those who have committed the 5 deadly sins and who have blasphemed the orthodox law, otherwise may I not attain the enlightenment. Provided I become a Buddha, if the beings of 10 quarters who have directed their thoughts towards the body and cultivated their stock of various merits with a fervent craving for rebirth in that country of mine, if at the moment of their death, should I not appear with an assembly of retinue before them, then may I not attain the enlightenment. Provided I become a Buddha, if the beings of 10 quarters, after having heard my name, always longing for that country of mine, and cultivating various essential merits for the purpose of realizing their earnest wish to be reborn in my country, should their fulfillment be failed, then may I not attain the enlightenment. Therefore, the sutras proclaim that every people who has faith in Amitabha, and those, I'm sorry, that monk, Dipankara, has fulfilled his vows, and he became a Buddha of that land with the name of Amitabha. Therefore, Amitabha is a monk, Dharmakara, who fulfilled his 48 vows, and who became a Buddha of that land of Sukhavati, of the pure land of great bliss. And the sutras proclaim that every person who would be a devotee of Buddha Metabha, who will with the great faith repeat his name, even 10 times, but with great faith, will be reborn in that land of Sukhavati, where practically there are no sufferings. And then, being reborn there, he will practice the Buddhist karma under the guidance of Amitabha, and without entering another world or lower states of samsara, he will attain the Buddhahood and his final nirvana. And the only thing necessary and the only practice necessary for the attainment of that land of bliss is faith in Amitabha and salvational value of his vows. If we have this faith, if we repeat his name with faith, then we will reborn there, and after the practice of the Buddhist karma under the guidance of Amitabha, we will attain the perfect enlightenment and the state of the Buddha. As you understand, this teaching is very simple and very and perfectly understandable for common believers, for common Buddhists in all the parts of the Mahayana Buddhism world, in Tibet, in China, in Korea, Japan, etc. And the idea of pure land as a kind of paradise was also very near to the hopes of millions of common people in those countries. And the cult of Buddha Amitabha became one of the most popular in those countries, and it is very popular now as well. Yes, I will speak about it, about practice. What are the descriptions? What are the descriptions of this pure land? It is like the descriptions are like the descriptions of paradises in different religious traditions, in Christianity and other traditional theistic religions. I will read you some descriptions of this land from the small Amitabha Sutra or small Sukhavati Vyuha. No, there is no this passage. In the reader, there is no this passage. There is no this passage in the reader. I will read from the. You, as you wish, of course. Of course, of course.
Again, let's lower this. Again. Now you can sit, stand. Again. Shariputra, in the Sukhavati, there is a lake of 7 gems flowing with the water of 8 meritorious qualities. Its bottom covered with pure golden sand. Its 4-sided banks and walks are composed of the precious gold, silver, lapis lazuli, and crystal. Above tower the palaces of gold, silver, lapis lazuli, crystal, beryl, red pearls, and carnelian. In the lake, there are lotus flowers as large as the cartwheels in circumference, blue-colored with blue radiance, yellow-colored with yellow radiance, red-colored with red radiance, white-colored with white radiance, fair, pure, and fragrant. Thus, O Shariputra, is Sukhavati, brought to so glorious a state of excellence through the merits of the Buddha Amitabha. Again, O Shariputra, in that Buddha land, celestial music often sounds. The heavenly Mandarava flowers, 6 times in day and night, whirl down upon the golden ground like a shower of rain. At dawn, the dwellers in this land receive and load their robes with these falling wondrous flowers, present them in reverent worship to 1,000,000 Buddhas of other Buddha fields, returning to their own land by the time for refreshment. O Shariputra, thus is Sukhavati, brought to a glorious state of excellence through the merits of the Buddha Amitabha. Again, O Shariputra, in that land there are many kinds of wondrous birds in variegated colors, the crane, the peacock, the parrot, the swan, the jiva-jiva, the kalmvinka, and many others, singing harmoniously day and night to proclaim the 5 roots of virtue, the 5 powers, the 7-fold path of buddhi, an 8-fold path of holiness, and other such noble laws. These draw the thoughts of the dwellers to meditate on the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Think not, O Shariputra, that these birds are born through their evil karma. In this Buddha country, there are no 3 evil realms. How could such things exist when even the names of them are known? For the purpose of propagating the various sounds of Dharma, that Buddha Amitabha brought these creatures into being by apparitional birth.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And therefore, every person who will recite the name of the Buddha and meditate on this name of the Buddha will reborn in this glorious land of Sukhavati. But what is about karma? Perhaps I'm a robber, but I believe in Amitabha and I will repeat his name. No, robber. Or murderer, or killer. Or killer. what is about? I believe in Amitabha and his powers, and I repeat his name with faith. What about my future fate? The vow of Amitabha from one side and the law of karma from another. It is very interesting. There is very interesting decision. Yes, the vows of Amitabha are very stable, and such a person will be reborn in those land. But nevertheless, there will be a very great period, intermediate period between his death and his rebirth in that land. For example, he will be born from the lotus flower in this land. There is no suffering there, and so there is no painful birthing process in that land of Amitabha. All beings or dwellers of that land must be born from the flowers of lotus. And such a person, murderer or robber, will stay in the flower as long as the consequences of his evil karma exist. And only after that he will be born in that paradise. And after rebirthing there, he will not become a disciple of Amitabha at once. He must be waiting for this event for many, many years. And only after some crucial good transformations in his consciousness, he will become a disciple of Amitabha and he will attain the perfect enlightenment. But nevertheless, his his future life, next life, will be the life in the land of Amitabha, and not in any other place. The most important practice of this cult is repetition of the Buddha's name. But nevertheless, the Amitāya Dhyana Sutra, or Sutra of the Contemplation of Amitabha, describes a number of meditations, of visualizations of this paradise. The practice of visualization of divinities, of gods, of divine beings is common to all Indian traditions. There are visualizations of the gods of East Devata, or protecting deity in the Hindu tradition. There are very developed visualizations in the Tantric Buddhism of Vajrayana and in other forms of Indian spirituality. The Amitāya Dhyana Sutra recommends such types of visualization. The object of visualization is the Pure Land of the Buddha, Amitabha, according to the descriptions of the small Sukhavati Vyuha. In the reader, there is a description of 14th and 15th meditations recommended by the Amitāya Dhyana Sutra, and I hope that you read them. It is the first material included in the reader on Buddhism. From the very beginning. And if you didn't read it, I hope that you will do it after that. Now I won't repeat it, because everybody has this text. It is very interesting that the cult of Amitabha is very popular in every countries of the Mahayanistic Buddhism. For example, in Tibetan monasteries, you can see the icons or the pictures, or even some models of these paradises with figures of Buddha Amitabha, his disciples, wondrous and miraculous broads sand, of gold, etc. But only in China there appeared a school or established tradition of the worshippers of Buddha Amitabha, that is, Pure Land School, or Jinghu in Chinese, Jodo in Japanese. After the 9th century, this school became one of the most popular, most influential trends of the Far Eastern Buddhism. The first representative of the school was monk of the border of the 4th and 5th century, Hui Yuan, very famous monk, who, together with all his community, gave a vow that all of them will try to be reborn in the Pure Land, and that they will do all their best to lead to this place all their followers and all the believers. But the founders of the school, in its proper form, were two monks of 6th and 7th centuries, Tanluan and Shandao. It is very interesting that Tanluan was very fond of Taoism. Why? His health was rather weak, And one of the most important aims of Taoism is longevity and even immortality. Immortality. Yes, and he practiced Taoist alchemy, Taoist macrobiotics, different other form of the Taoist practice to obtain a good health and longevity. That time, he had read the sutras of Amitabha, and he was very impressed by the contents of those sutras. And the name of the Buddha, the second form of his name, Amitayur, that is the Buddha of unlimited life, impressed him greatly. And he realized that this Buddhist form of immortality in the pure land of Amitabha Buddha is the true immortality, much more dignified and much more noble than the forms of physical immortality proclaimed by the schools of Taoism. And he became an ardent follower of Amitabha worshipping. On the border of 12th and 13th century, the school became to spread in Japan, and it became very popular in Japan too. If Chan or Zen, meditational school of Chinese origin, became a school for the Japanese nobles, for samurais, noblemen, the cult of Amitabha became a cult of Japanese commoners and became extremely widespread in different strata of Japanese city dwellers and peasants. And there appeared a monk, Shinran by name. His name is connected with a very important reform in this Jodo school, Pure Land school. Before Shinran, the followers of the school, and first of all monks, practiced the meditation on the Buddha name, or Nyanfo, or Nambutsu in Japanese, as well as different and rather complex forms of meditations and visualizations of his Pure Land. Shinran proclaimed that those complex forms of meditation aren't necessary for salvation. Why? First of all, he told, we live now in the epoch of the land of true dharma, mofa in Chinese. What is the end of true dharma? According to the tradition of Chinese Buddhism, there were three periods in the development or in degradation of the Buddhist law, of the Buddhist karma. The first 500 years from Buddha's nirvana was a period of true dharma, of the true law. The second millennium was a time of the dharma of resemblance. What does it mean? It has a resemblance with the true teaching of the Buddha, but only resembles. It is not true dharma. And the third millennium is the period of the end of dharma, or its degradation. And this degradation of the understanding of Buddhism, the understanding of the Buddha Dharma, is related to degradation of human beings. And if the human beings of the first 500 years after Buddha's Nirvana were able to practice different, rather difficult and complex forms of contemplation, yogic meditation, the people of the end of the Dharma epoch aren't able to do that. Therefore, they must find more simple and more practical and more realizable forms of practice. And this most simple, the simplest, the most practical way of salvation is the repetition of the Buddha name, or memory of the Buddha. It's literal sense of the of this expression, memory of the Buddha. Contemplational repetition of the name of Amitabha. And it is all. This practice is complete practice, perfect practice, and this practice is has a definite and final salvational character. Moreover, Saran proclaimed that the Buddhists mustn't become monks. Why? The vows of and precepts of monks have no force and meaning, moreover. Lost their meaning because of the degradation of the human beings. We're very weak and we can't hold all those, absorb all those precepts of the Vinaya. And if we take the vows of monk, we will violate them. And it's very sinful doing. It's better not to take such vows and to be lay people, practicing the memory of the Buddha, practicing the repetition of his name. And Senran himself, at the beginning of his career, he was a monk, but proclaiming this salvation by faith only, by the force of the Buddha's name only, he rejected his status of monk, married, and became a layperson. Huh? Yeah, like Luther, yeah. And the name, the new branch of this Pure Land School, reformed by Senran, obtained new name of True Faith of the Pure Land. In Japanese, Jodo Shinshu. It is the most popular and the most widespread type of Japanese Buddhism, with millions and millions of followers, and the most traditional and more orthodox Chinese Jintō is less popular in Japan than the new trend of Shinran. Amitabha, yes. It can be personal or individual, meditative, and in quietness, and it may be public. For example, in Taiwan, in Foguangshan, the mountain of Buddha's light, it is a great monastery, Buddhist monastery. I saw a crowds of people staying during the evening service and reciting the Buddha's name. Namo Amitoho Fo, Namo Amitoho Fo, in such manner. Very long. They were reciting this mantra. Then a priest read some texts from the assembly of three Pure Land Sutras. He also made some acts of worshipping, and then after this, the cycle of recitation of the Buddha name repeated again. The whole session. As much as possible, the whole service, I think it took about 3 hours for all service. Yes. The proper pronunciation of this mantra in Chinese is Namo Amitofo. And there are many stories, some of them of humoristic form, about the strength of this mantra with the Buddha's name. For example, one skeptic came to a monk who was a preacher of this practice of reciting the Buddha name. Well, this skeptic said, it's ridiculous how some syllables can liberate us from the bondage of samsara. The monk told him, you are a fool. And one more story from a famous Japanese writer of the beginning of this century, Akutagawa Rinosuke, about one samurai. That samurai was a very strong and brave warrior, and he wasn't interested in religion at all. But on the central place of the city, he heard a preacher who told about the Western paradise, or the paradise of Amitabha. The warrior took his weapon, his sword, and said, where is this place? Where is this place? Where is the vacation of this place? The monk said, in the west. And so the samurai went in the western direction. Japan is a country of islands, and he was on an island. And going in the western direction, he came to the ocean. And there was no another way to the west. Then he sat on the branch of the tree, looking in the western direction, and sat in this position, was sitting in this position for weeks and months, and of course he died because of starvation. And on the place where he sat, there appeared a fragrant and beautiful white flower. It is the story expresses very well the spirit of this devotional trend of Buddhism. Only faith. Here, the samurai didn't know anything about Buddhism, about Buddhist philosophy, about Buddha's doctrine, but he obtained faith in Amitabha and his Pure Land. And he was reborn in that place, and the sign of his exaltation was the appearance of this fragrant flower. Now some words about another devotional tradition of Buddhism, which has very common features with the cult of Amitabha Buddha. It is a tradition of another Japanese monk, reformer, Nichiren. It is very interesting that the object of veneration in this tradition is not a figure of a Buddha or Bodhisattva, but a holy writing. Lotus of the sun, or sunny lotus, or Japanese lotus. Sun is a symbol of Japan. And lotus is a symbol of Buddhism, that is, a man who embodied the spirit of Japanese Buddhism. It was his monastic name. He lived in the 13th century, and at the beginning of his career, he was a member of a Tendai school of Japanese Buddhism. Tendai school had Chinese origin, and Chinese it is Tian Tai. This is a school with rather sophisticated philosophy and sophisticated practice of shamatha vipassana, stopping and analysis. I have told about this practice. And at the beginning of his career, Nichiren practiced all those types of contemplation according to the writings of the patriarchs of this trend of Buddhism. But in the middle of his life, he obtained a strong opinion that all those methods, all those ways of meditation aren't effective. Why? Because of that idea of the end of truth karma I have spoken before. We are unable to practice such a sophisticated form of meditation now. We must find something more practical and something simpler than complex yogic methods of classical Mahayana. He rejected all the practice of Tendai, but not the Tendai doctrine. He believed all his life that the doctrine of Tendai is perfect and complete teaching of the Buddha. But the practice, which perhaps was very good in the ancient times, became too difficult for contemporary people, for his contemporaries. And his reform was in replacing of this old practice by simpler method of the repetition of the title of the sutra of the holy lotus of the Sadhkarma of the Buddha. Sadhkarma Pundarika Sutra in Sanskrit, Fahua Jing in Chinese, and Myoha Renge Kyo in Japanese, is one of the earliest sutras of Mahayana. It is a compendium of religious, not philosophical, but religious side of Mahayana, with its idea of eternal Buddha as Dharmakaya, with the cult of Bodhisattvas, with their great compassion and skillful means, and etc. And this sutra was the very foundation of the doctrine of Tendai school. They believed that the sutra is an expression of the highest teaching of the Buddha. They had an idea of five periods of Buddha's preaching. What were those five periods? When Buddha attained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, his consciousness attained the state of ocean-like samadhi, Haiying Sanma in Chinese, when it became like very quiet, absolutely quiet surface of ocean, reflecting all the phenomena on the world in itself. And this state of consciousness was described by the Buddha in his Avatamsaka Sutra. But the teaching of this Avatamsaka Sutra was so difficult, so sophisticated, that even deities and bodhisattvas couldn't understand it. And Buddha realized that he had to gradually prepare his disciples for understanding of this truth. That was the first period. The second period was his preaching in Benares when he proclaimed the Hinayana doctrines of no soul doctrine, of causal dependent origination, Four Noble Truths, etc. Then he proclaimed the teaching about the emptiness of all phenomena, the dividedness of essences. Then he proclaimed the teaching of Vijñanavada about consciousness only, mind only, Vijñaptimātra. And when his most advanced disciples were ready to understand the highest truth, he preached Sadharma Pundarika Sutra, Sutra of the Lotus of the True Dharma, the True Law of the Buddha. The contents of the sutra was the same as the contents of Avatamsaka Sutra, but Avatamsaka Sutra was understandable only for the most advanced disciples, and the Lotus Sutra was understandable for everybody, for Buddhists of most advanced types, and for mediocre type, and for lost type. It was universal significance. And before entering the final Nirvana, Buddha confirmed the superiority of this teaching by his last sutra, Mahaparinirvana Sutra, which, according to the Tendai tradition, had confirming meaning. And this Sadharma Pundarika Sutra, Sutra of the Lotus of the True Law, of the True Doctrine, became a foundation of Tendai Buddhism. And Nichiren proclaimed that this sutra is a text of many supernatural powers and qualities, and its very name has great wholeness. And if we will contemplate the characters in which this title is written, and if we will repeat the title of the sutra, Nama Myoho Renge Kyo in Japanese, homage to the Sutra of the True Law, we will attain the great and complete enlightenment, or the state of Buddhahood. And in the temples the Nichiren school, we can find different mandala-like patterns those characters, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. And the most important, and in fact the only practice of the school, is constant repetition of the title of the sutra, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Practically so. I have participated in their services, and they have two parts, reciting of passages from the Lotus Sutra and reciting recitation of this formula.
Yeah. How successful it's been,
yeah.
And things like that. So, I mean, the
yeah.
Whole complex of the spiritual life.
Yeah. It was very active Buddhist school in Japan, in contemporary Japan. It has very close relation to the one social organization, Soka Gakkai. And Soka Gakkai has some relations to one of the parties in parliament, in Japanese parliament. According to the Japanese constitution, that all religious parties are forbidden. Religion and politics are separate, were separated in Japan, according to the constitution of 1946. But in fact, that part of Kameito, of pure policy, has very close relation to Nichiren-su and to Soka Gakkai. No. Completely no. Practice is has resemblance, but they have had no connection. Moreover, Nichiren hated the followers of Pure Land Buddhism greatly. He was, it's very interesting, he had very ardent temper. If Ceran was like Luther, I think that he was like Calvin. And it is very strange to Buddhism. Buddhism is very a religion of great tolerance. And this trend of Nichiren is exception. He was a very intolerant person. He told that all other trends of Buddhism, with exception of Tendai, are demonic teachings, the teaching of devils, such as Zen, Tantric school, or Pure Land school. Pure Land school isn't Buddhism at all, to his mind. We must be liberated by our own powers. In Japanese, jiriki. And that school, the school of Pure Land, proclaims the heterodox doctrine of salvation by the powers of another, that is, of Buddha Amitabha. No, they had no relations. But the practice had a lot of common features.
So whether it's the visualization, whether it's the recitation of the sutra, whether it's the recitation of the name of Amitabha, that in that case it's not really mystical, but it's more operating on the level of soteriology or of salvation. That is to say, it's, and also there's a moral practice that goes along with it in the sermons that are found in the temples. It's nothing about Four Noble Truths or anything of the kind, but it's always about moral practice. But when the monks in the Chan monasteries, they have a recitation hall, and for them, the Pure Land practice is a mystical practice. So I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Yes, certainly. Lay communities, it isn't mystical practice. Perhaps it isn't mystical practice. But the idea of the recitation of the Buddha name is mystical by its sources. Moreover, this Zen, this character, Nyan, Nem, had a Sanskrit equivalent of I've forgotten, I'm afraid. Samyak and Smriti, like Smriti, memoration, like the name of the seventh stage of the Eightfold Noble Path of Buddhism. And the connotation of this word is mindful awareness, complete mindful awareness of the subject in the mind. It is very interesting, yes, that in the course of history, the Chan and the monks also adopted this practice. And they consider this mantra of the name of Amitabha to be as like as koans and koans. And Zen paradoxes. I will tell about it in the next lecture. Yes. Not this, but the name of Amitabha. And in some Zen Pure Land syncretic texts, there is an idea that Western paradise of Amitabha is but our true mind, Jenshin, and we mustn't look for it outside our mind. It is the very nature of our mind, and we must find this paradise of pure land in ourselves.
Okay. So I think we're
this lecture was dedicated to the devotional schools of Mahayana Buddhism. They are the pure land or the worshippers of Buddha Amitabha and Nichiren school of the Japanese Buddhism. The main idea of those schools was that the salvation, liberation from samsara and attainment of the Buddhahood can be attained through the repetition of prayers of the name of the Buddha in one case and the title of the Holy Scripture, the Lotus Sutra, in another. Thank you.